whether you out there do Christmas or not, you know, this is a sad part of the year for an awful lot of people because they do believe in it. They do remember family ties and things like that. And this is when most of the suicide happens during the year, during this season. And, you know, there's some funny things about Christmas, I tell you, that just from the, you know, 30-something years ago when I came into Christianity, I realized that there were some things wrong. I read the Bible a lot, and I realized that there were some bad principles involved in it. A lot of merchandising and a lot of people taking advantage of other people. And I've been to Christmas get-togethers, and people that never named the name of Jesus the whole rest of the year, the overwhelming majority of them, celebrate Christmas and don't want anything to do with Christ. You know, and I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 11 when they're killing the two witnesses and they're having a party and exchanging gifts. I thought, you know what? Christmas will still be alive then, folks. You know, they can persecute and kill the Christians, but Christmas will still be alive. You know, one thing that the Lord does want, and that is He wants equality. He wants people's needs met. You know, in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that's the first thing that came to people was to have everybody's needs met. And that's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, "For I say not this, that others may be eased and ye distressed," speaking about giving, of course, "but by equality, your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." Well, that's the way, of course, he's taking this from Exodus 16, you know, talking about the gathering of the manna and stuff like that. They would just fill an omer up and rake it off, and whatever they raked off went into somebody else's pot, you know. They made sure everybody had their needs met. And, you know, Christmas is known to be a time of giving, but is it really scriptural giving? I'm not even getting into the area right now of whether Christmas is scriptural, but just are some of these principles scriptural? It's obvious that it's not founded in Christianity. That's an obvious fact. Anybody that does just a little bit of study of history knows that. But are these principles at all scriptural? You know, when you gather together with friends and loved ones, and you have to rack your brain for a month or two beforehand to try to figure out what do they need, so you get them something because they're going to give you something. You know what I'm talking about? Well, look at this verse, Luke 14, verse 12. Now, this is our Lord talking. And He doesn't mind being controversial, and He doesn't mind giving us things that might even bring us persecution. The point is, are you going to listen? No. Luke 14 and 12. "He said unto him also that had bidden him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest happily they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee." In other words, giving and receiving it right back, right? "But when thou makest a feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just," or the righteous. Same word. Very interesting that the Lord is saying, don't look for people that are going to give you something back in return for what you give. You don't get a reward for that. They gave you your reward, obviously. And but look for the people that really have needs to meet. I wish that that God's people would live, whether they believe in Christmas or not, that they would learn to be disciples of Christ and learn to to see the needs around them rather than the people that don't have any needs. You know how it is. You just rack your brains trying to figure out, now what does this person need? So what are you going to get them something for, huh? You don't know what they need. They don't need anything, you know. What the Lord is saying is, no. Find the guy that has the need and help him, you know. There are many out there that are destitute. You can help them, right? I'm reminded of what the Lord says. He that giveth to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. He shall repay him again. But it also says in Proverbs that he that giveth to the rich shall come only to want. You understand, when you're giving to people for the sake of giving that are going to give back to you, you don't get a reward. And if you're giving to somebody that's already doesn't have any needs, you're only going to come to want. You're not going to get a reward for that. No, it might make you feel better around the relatives, but the truth is, the Lord's got His own set of rules, and we're very peculiar people. And to be disciples of Christ is what we're called to do. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let me find that. Oh, excuse me, I have to turn kind of slow in this Bible. I have to be gentle with it. Ecclesiastes 5. Let's see where to start here. Verse 10. It says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. In other words, the earth makes enough to meet the needs of everyone. Can you imagine that? It says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? You know, the earth does make enough to feed everybody, but some people live very, very high off the hog. They don't really realize that they're robbing somebody, that they've been blessed in order to bless others. And like he says here, what are you going to do with it? Just look at it while other people are in desperate need? Well, I tell you what the tribulation is all about, what the wilderness experience is all about, is to bring equality to God's people and to make them satisfied with their needs being met in order to do that, and to make them satisfied with being able to do the will of the Lord, not impressing people around them with their standard of living or their success. Yeah, the world is going to look down on the people of God in these coming days. And we are going to pay a price to be separate from the world, but it'll all be worth it. The sacrifice that we give is the sacrifice of our life that's commanded of us. As priests of the Lord, we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto Him. It's our call. Verse 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eateth little or much, but the fullness of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept by the owner thereof to his own hurt. And those riches perish by evil adventure. And if he've begotten a son, there's nothing in his hand. For he came forth from his mother's womb naked, and shall he also again as he came? Shall he also go again as he came, and shall take nothing for his labor, which he may carry away with him? Well, I tell you, folks, yeah, it's true. When this life's over, we've passed up our chance to do anything that will gain us eternal rewards. One thing we do get for being a blessing to the needy around us, and that is an eternal reward. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. To give up something that you can't keep in order to get something that you can't lose is a really, really good deal. And yet that's what God's offering to us. He's offering us this great blessing. So I challenge you to search the Scriptures and see if these principles about Christmas are Christian. Because they are not. Not only is Christmas not Christian, but the principles are not. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that I judge anybody that does Christmas. I really don't do that. You know, some people have nothing but love in their heart, you know. But I just ask you to examine this. This is not a matter of judging someone. This is a matter of having you examine what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, where Christmas came from, obviously, it came from a merger of paganism and Christianity. It really did not start with Christ at all. I mean, that's obvious from the scriptures that the Asherah that the Israelites cut down in the, whenever they came across it and were commanded of the Lord to cut it down, whenever they came across it, that Asherah was the Christmas tree and came from paganism, had nothing to do with Christianity, you know, many, many years before Christ. And the Yule log and the Asherah and all that stuff, it had its roots in the Tower of Babel, the false pagan virgin birth at the Tower of Babel that brought forth Tammuz, the false son of God. That's actually where most of where Christmas is came from. Had nothing to do, had no roots in Christianity whatsoever. Don't you believe that if Jesus really wanted us to celebrate his birthday, there would be something about it in the scriptures? He would have given us a day, wouldn't he? The Bible says, learn not to go beyond the things that are written. That's what Paul said. And Paul also said, by the way, he says, I'm afraid of you, lest I've wasted my time. Let me read that to you in Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, Howbeit at that time, not knowing God, you were in bondage to them that by nature are no gods. But now that you are come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn you back to the weak and beggarly rudiments or principles, whereunto you desire to be in bondage all over again? You observe days and months, seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. You know, folks, if you want to celebrate Jesus, that's something that you have to do every day. I don't even say that, the truth is, I don't even say that Thanksgiving is a scriptural day, because we're supposed to give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And I'm not saying don't celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm just making a point here, okay? Because people justify themselves in that they take a special day to give thanks to God. But God said do it all the time. If you want to celebrate Jesus, celebrate what the Bible tells you to celebrate about Jesus, and that is his death. You know what the Lord's Supper is? It's a celebration of the sacrifice of his death for us. He did tell us to celebrate that, didn't he? But he didn't tell us to celebrate his birth. Okay? Again, I'm not making any laws for you. I just want you to grow in the ways of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 10. I know some of y'all know this by heart. I didn't plan on making it, really even talking about Christmas tonight, but I'm just going to make another point here. Jeremiah chapter 10, some of you know this by heart. Verse 2, Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the nations. The way of the nations. Do you know, I remember the words of early presidents who fought against Christmas even coming into this country, because they knew that it came from apostate Catholicism. They fought against it even coming into this country. But the merchants didn't let it go by because they saw it was an awfully good deal for them, you see. So they were cooperate with an apostate church to bring this into America, folks. Now, I'm very, very glad that Jesus was born. It's obviously he wasn't born anywhere near December, probably in September. Matter of fact, the stars that guided I saw a writing, I read part of it to you a while back, how that the bright star didn't happen in 3 BC in December. The ones that they think that actually could have caused this all happened in September. And it's very interesting, folks. You know, there's no shepherds in the field in December, obviously. You know, all these common revelations that people have that makes you know it's not December. But here's one about the tree. He says, learn not the way of the nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vanity. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of a workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They're like a palm tree of turned work, and speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. So he says, don't learn the way of the nations or Gentiles. You see, basically pagans to them. Because this was the Asherah in the Old Testament that was accompanied the altar of Baal quite often. You know, like Gideon pulled down the altar. But they were commanded to do this, to cut down the Asherah, which was the Christmas tree, the Baal bush. They were commanded to cut it down, and now people celebrate it. You know? Well, folks, you know, I mean, if we're going to be Christians, let's just be Christians, you know? Yeah, I know. You get persecuted if you don't do what everybody else does. And some of you that know me know that I don't believe purposely offending people because of that. In fact, I've had people that were so against Christmas that tell me they refuse to fellowship with Christians who do it or in there. And I've never been that way. I'm not that way, folks, because I'll go there and I will fellowship with them. And they may know that I don't do Christmas, you know, but I do love them and I do want to fellowship with them. And I don't even, that's not even the first thing I'm going to open up with them. The first thing I'm going to talk to people is about their soul. You know, I call it straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, like Jesus. If you, first thing you're going to bring up is Christmas around people. That's, to me, is kind of insignificant compared to the more important thing of meeting their needs with the gospel. And so I'm not going to slam the door in my face so I can't tell them the important things. I'm going to be weak to the weak. I'm going to fellowship with them. You know, Jesus was picked on too by the Pharisees because he ate with the publicans and sinners. But what did he tell them? He that's sick is the one that has need of a healer. That's the word, literal word there, healer. Not he that's whole. That's what he told them. He says, I need to go there because they need me. So he went where the need was. And, of course, the Pharisees ostracized him because he was eating with these sinners, you know. But for goodness sake, folks, that's where we need to be. We need to be out there. I'm not talking about joining in their sin. I'm talking about going there and being a witness and loving them and telling them a better way. You heard the old saying, you know, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. Well, go there and be a light. Don't go there and be a Pharisee. You know, because there's a lot of Pharisees out there that don't do Christmas. You understand? But learn a little wisdom along the way and be a blessing to people. And so I'm getting down off my stump now. Because didn't even know I was going to say that tonight. But in fact, I had something else I want to share with you. So you can do some research on that on your own. And there's plenty of it on the internet. When I first discovered these things, we went to the library and just dug up all kind of books and history books. And sure enough, I found out, yeah, it's true. You know, all this stuff's true. That this came into Christianity because, mostly because a beast empire decided to make peace between the religions. And they created a universal religion, kind of like they're about to do today. And this universal religion, universal meaning Catholic, merged all sorts of paganism, even stuff back from the Tower of Babel, in along with apostate Christians who decided to join for the sake of advantage. And that's how you got a lot of these holidays, folks. That's where they came from. Go back and research them. Again, I'm not preaching not being weak to the weak. You know, Paul didn't believe at all in 1 Corinthians 9 and He didn't, in Galatians, he didn't believe in circumcision. 1 Corinthians 9, he talked about being weak to the weak so that he could gain some people. He became all things to all men that he might gain some. And he took a vow, which he preached against. Shaved his head and took a vow, which he preached against. Circumcised Timothy so he could be acceptable among them, which he preached against. You understand the difference is the motive here. You know, he wanted to be weak to the weak. He wanted to be acceptable among these people so he could share the gospel with them. It's the same thing. Christmas is the same thing, folks, and Easter is too. And people ask me, do you do Christmas? I don't see any lights out and all that. And I said, no, I don't. I said, but I don't condemn them that do. I've got better things to do. And I hadn't had a tree in my house in 30-something years. And we've never really put up any lights in 30-something years. All my neighbors around me, they got their lights all up. And they want to know why my house is so dark, you know. And if I get a chance, I'll tell them. But I certainly don't condemn them. None of them have ever heard me do that. You know, people just don't know, folks. They don't necessarily need condemnation. They just don't know. And first of all, if you do tell that to someone who doesn't have the grace of God, they're just going to close you off. First of all, they need Jesus. You don't clean fish till you catch them. If you get them to Jesus and they have a desire to be a disciple, then sometimes these things will help them to depart from this world. But if you're trying to cast your pearls before swine, they're just going to turn and rend you. That's what Jesus said. So, first of all, you have to talk about the things that count. And be graceful with these people because they don't know. Remember that the Lord told us in 1 Corinthians 5 not to judge them that are without. And the reason for that is they don't know any better. They don't have grace from God. They don't have their eyes opened. It's so foolish to judge these people. It's not what they need. What they need is grace. And grace comes from faith, not from condemnation. Oh, I agree. There's a time for condemnation. There's a place for condemnation. Because people who know and do evil, they're evil. But the people that don't know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, you can give someone verbal knowledge, but they don't know it. Just a verbal knowledge, just giving them the information, doesn't necessarily make them knowledgeable of it. And, of course, there's a lot of Christians that say, hey, I know Christmas is not of God, but we use that opportunity to worship the Lord. And I rarely argue with them, folks. I rarely do. Because, you know what? When I came to the Lord and I became a disciple of Jesus, I wanted to do everything I could to please Him. And I was looking for opportunities to please Him. You know? And so giving up things that I knew that He spoke about in most of the against in most of the Bible wasn't hard for me. What people need to be is disciples of Jesus. That means learners and followers, even if you're ostracized by the world or the religious crowd. You know? Again, I don't condemn any of you out there that do it. I certainly don't. I bless you in Jesus' name. And I know that in the days to come, a lot of these kind of things are just going to fall off naturally. You know why? Because God's going to shake heaven and earth. And His people are going to come to His temple, which we're going to study here in just a minute. And when that happens, this stuff just naturally going to fall off. There are Christians that spend all their time arguing with others and don't really get down to the things that count. And I think that's a shame.